It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's f***ing.
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports 1140.
Well, once upon a time, it all started well in the pretty stadium. All looked great in Las Vegas.
Carr looked like he bobbled the snap, throws the slant, it's caught! Touchdown, Devontae Adams! He bobbled the snap, got it off anyway! And for the second straight week, Devontae Adams has a silver and black touchdown!
Looked great. How about the newly minted rich guy, Darren Waller?
Snap. Carr steps back, lobs the throw. Waller in the end zone. Feet down. Touchdown! He lobbed it up near sideline. Waller went up and got it on a three-yard pass.
Raiders add a field goal. They're up.
Moving the ball damn good in the first half.
Yeah, 17-0. They get 20. Oh, gosh, but here comes Kyler Murray.
Pointing, still holding the ball like it's street ball in the backyard. He's still got it. Runs right to the 10. Cuts left to the 5, and he's going to score. Oh, my goodness. Kyler Murray on a play that took about a minute.
They said he moved 84 yards on that play.
So it was actually funny. Should Kyler Murray, real question here, should Kyler Murray have been called for an unsportsmanlike conduct for taunting? Remember when he dropped back after like the third escape, when he pulled the lawn chair out and he read the entire comics?
Yes.
From the Las Vegas Review Journal. And he sat there and he had a cigar while his offensive line was
also
just doing
a Mai
Tai,
which was
and I felt like that was over the top.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of sticking it to Raiders' defensive line. And then he woke up and decided to score a touchdown or get the two-point conversion. And then, what do you know? How about a rush?
Snap to Murray. Drops back to throw. Looking. Steps up. Takes off. Heading to the near sideline. Gets into the end zone. Sticks the ball out for the touchdown with no time left. And the Cardinals get 6 points. No time left. They'll run a two-point play to try to send this game to overtime. It's 23-21.
I know we're running through the highlights, but we need to talk about what happened the play before that. Fourth and four.
Yeah.
You stop them.
Yeah.
It's the most Raider thing in the world.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. We're going to come back to the most Raider thing in the world, those seven words.
Yeah, I mean, again, there could be several instances in that game, but to me, you have it fourth and four, 16 seconds left, incomplete. The game's over.
It's over. It's over.
Ah, well, there's that little yellow flag. That the silver and black knows all so well.
Yeah, shockingly.
For a stupid holding call.
No way. Well, remember, they had the two-point conversion earlier. They're not going to get a second one in a row.
No way. It never happens.
Snap to Murray. Drops back to throw. Everybody covered. Pointing. Directing traffic. Fires back at the end zone. And a sliding attempt. And A.J. Green pulled it in. He got it. It's a two-point conversion. We are going to overtime. What a throw by Murray. And A.J. Green redeems himself. Tying this game at 23, overtime, here we come.
Mm-hmm. Well, even in overtime, there's a fourth down stop, and the Raiders took over. This is a big deal. They're going to win this game.
Snap to Murray, backing up off his back foot for Brown at the 15. Caught it, dropped! Daron Harmon came over the top, and he jarred it loose with a huge hit. Turnover on downs. Raiders football in overtime with a chance to win.
Uh-huh, absolutely. And then... Raider's gonna Raider, right? I mean, is that Raider gonna Raider?
Raider, always Raider.
Byron Murphy.
Carr waiting for the shotgun snap. He's got the ball. Quick throw left side. Renfro with a catch. And he breaks one tackle. Then the ball comes out. It's loose. And it's picked up by the Cardinals in midfield. It's picked up by Byron Murphy. At the 40. At the 30. At the 20. At the 10. Ball game! Byron Murphy picks up the ball at midfield. Returns it for a touchdown. And the Cardinals win. No flags. What an unbelievable finish here in Vegas.
Unbelievable or actually super believable?
Yeah, that's the thing. And let's be fair. Arizona had 120 yards in penalties to the Raiders 68. They each had a turnover. But doesn't it just, okay, you know, we talk sometimes about how franchises take on the personality of their city. Pittsburgh, blue collar. The Lakers, Showtime.
Yeah.
Detroit, defense. And
Kings, mediocre.
The Kings, just, they're near things, you know. It's like the Raiders take on the, they have their own brand. And in the 70s and 80s, the brand was great. It was, we're the Outlaws. We're going to come to you with our eye patches and Raider logo.
They were cool, dude.
We're cool. We're gonna smoke cigarettes at the sideline and we're going to get all the women and go to the clubs and wear the fur coats. And we're just awesome.
Yep.
And it worked. It was awesome. And it's passed down. But haven't they kind of turned into like the guy that has a really nice Harley and a leather jacket and makes tons of noise and it's a $50,000 Harley and he drives around and wants everybody to know about how loud his Harley is? And then if you followed him home, he lives in like a shack because he spent all his money on the Harley so people could notice his image. Like it's all style. But the substance always bites him in the rear end.
Yeah, it's trying to still be the Raiders. You know the how does the stupid song go, or the autumn wind, what that
the
one?
Autumn wind is a Raider.
There, that one. It's still trying to have that, but it's like the substance just isn't there anymore. It's like Diet Raider.
It is Diet Raider. There's no denying the history of the Raiders. No denying the image, and I think there's a lot of people too. Like there's probably no team in American sports that is more the, I don't really know them, but I like their colors and it's fun to root for them team than the Raiders. That doesn't mean there aren't diehard Raider fans, but I think there's people that honestly, like, they lead sports and these jerseys look rad.
The gear is cool.
Their color scheme is awesome. I love the attitude. I love everything about that. And I know Raider fan right now is listening and going, you're an idiot. Sir, ma'am, I'm not saying there aren't hardcore Raider fans, and I'm not saying there aren't ding-dong fans in every fan base.
Oh, every fan base. I mean, I'm a Niners fan. We have stupid fans. I'm a Dodger fan. I don't. That's self-explanatory, and, well, Kings are the Kings. But, no, every fan has its ding-dongs, to your point.
And it's
but, there, but there's quality. There's quality of ding-dong, right?
I really have, and again, they could go 15-2 and win the Super Bowl. It's
spoiler, they won't.
It's two games. It's two games. Man, do I have high hopes for them. Man, and the Chargers loss acceptable. After Kansas City went in and absolutely mushroomed the Cardinals in front of their own fans.
Took their soul.
And then for them to, it's not just like, I almost would be better if the Cardinals somehow went into Vegas and just beat them.
Yeah, it would have been like the Cardinals, you'd have had a moment during the week where it's like, we are way better than what we showed against Kansas City. Yeah. We're going to go in Vegas and stomp these guys and show them who we really are.
It's not what happened.
No.
It's not what happened. Derek Carr is angry.
We have to learn how to win. And it starts with me. The execution that we had in the first half, we did not execute each play with the detail, I think, that we should have, the way that we did in the first half.
It starts with you. Okay, well, hold on.
I thought we went down. You know, we hit a couple play, a run, nice run. We hit Hunter. We were moving it down there, getting into Daniel's range, and I thought we had a chance, man. And it's just hard the way that it went.
Dang nabbit.
Learning how to win starts with me. You know, on one hand, I appreciate where he's coming from.
Yeah, Derek's always going to go out there and he's going to blame himself.
But on the other hand, it's like, bro, it needed to start with you. Like, there comes a point where you almost blame yourself too much, and now people are going to believe that you're lame.
And I want to point out, it did start with him. He looked really good in the first half.
I thought he did too.
And I've seen this a couple times in the YouTube chat. I thought Josh McDaniel got a little conservative with play calling in the second half, which I understand. You're winning. You're trying to run clock down. But also, the other side of the ball is not doing its job. The defense was starting to get all sorts of issues with Kyler Murray. I thought they needed to be a little more aggressive there towards the end.
I don't know how Murray pulled away from Max Crosby. Not one play. Crosby had him dead to rights.
Just a magician.
Josh McDaniels.
It's us versus them. You know, it's just the trenches. So it's our line versus D-line, and we'll never know if I got in or not. But just a tribute to those guys. Those guys were, you know, fighting all night. So, yeah.
Did you feel like you got it?
Yeah.
How much does that change the game?
It changes everything. But, again, I did get in, so got to face the fact. Just move on.
Okay. Well,
it's early.
It's not cutting time for the Raiders. They got to look in the mirror.
Yeah, it's early. You know, you said the 15-2 thing. I don't see that happening, but
I don't either.
But
just
you need to figure it out early, because this is on paper the best division in football. On paper, Kansas City and the Chargers both look really good. I'm already out on the Broncos.
I don't. That's the thing. I don't know. Neither do you. We don't. Listen, you and I both know this. There's going to be some 0-2 teams right now that make the playoffs.
Sure.
There's going to be some 2-0 teams that don't make the playoffs.
Sure. Some 1-1 teams that make the playoffs.
It took me, in about a 20-minute span, I went from thinking, my God, could Baltimore make the you know, are they a Dark Horse Super Bowl team? And going, oh, wow, they'll look at that secondary. You know, Flacco lit them up, and they still lost, but Flacco lit them up, and then they got lit up by Tuna. Like, this is a thing. What happens when Baltimore plays Kansas City or San Diego or Buffalo or the Raiders? All right, we'll take a break. Listen, Three for Madness is coming up, and we got a lot here. We're going to talk about Trey Lance. We're going to let you not be a human for a second to speak your mind. Also, what was your pick from the weekend? And the reason Arizona and Kyler Murray won yesterday, we think we know what it is. Three for's next.
Sacktown Sports 1140 is broadcasting live on YouTube.
To me, it's a must-watch.
Check out the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross and the Cattles and Rami Show.
Plus, get exclusive content.
Search Sacktown Sports 1140 on YouTube. Three questions, three answers. It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Question one.
There's a ton of stuff to talk about in football, but specifically the Niners.
Foosball.
We'll get to Matt Barrows at 8 o'clock. But I also want to add into the chat room. Hello, everybody. Hello to MC and Chris and Rob and Leezy and Zeebs. You know, the whole crew. Chris, as usual, is going to grab onto something and thinks he knows what he's talking about.
Chris has a weird thing with you.
Yeah, I know. It's
like he's going to show up at your doorstep one day.
He just kind of grabs onto something. It's just weird. Chris is pointing out that I keep rubbing my eyes, and he thinks it's a glasses thing. Listen, I can literally read stuff in that other room. That's not the vision problem I have. Chris missed the start of the show. When I said I literally slept not a second last night. Like, I'm on no sleep. None. I have not slept since I got up yesterday morning at about 6 a.m.
Nap time today?
Here's exactly what's going to happen, Jay. I'm pumped up for the show right now. I'm on caffeine and adrenaline. I'll probably start to crash around 8:45.
Don't worry.
All I'm going to want to do from here. All I'm going to want to do is get home to sleep. And you know what's going to happen when I lay my head on the pillow?
Your phone will ring and something will
I won't be able to fall asleep.
Really? Just,
I won't be able to fall asleep. I'll be too tired to fall asleep. Have you ever been too tired to fall asleep?
No.
Yeah. Three for madness question one.
Okay, let's forget being an actual human for a second. I mean, most of us are already good at this, so this shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Are the 49ers the better team today than they were yesterday?
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
They are. Listen, but that's not what the deal was. I don't know. Let me put it. Again, I'm going to try a stupid analogy, and I hope this somehow works. Just come with me on this. I'm trying to lose weight and work out, okay? I truly am. I am trying. I've quit smoking. I'm trying to improve my health and my look. If I go home tonight before I go to bed, and I pound a sleeve of Oreos,
yeah,
I'm going to be happier than if I did not pound the sleeve of Oreos. But 3 months from now, if I continue to not pound sleeves of Oreos and I work out, mm-hmm. though the journey may not be as happy, in 3 months I'm going to be naked in the mirror. It's a visual for everyone.
Yeah.
At 7:15. And I'm going to be happier in the long run.
Sure.
Jimmy Garoppolo is a sleeve of Oreos. And the Niners and Niner fans are pounding that sleeve right now. And Trey Lance,
isolating that whole thing.
Thank you. Trey Lance is the diet that you need to be on so that in the long run you can have nice muscles. Jimmy Garoppolo is marathon runner body. Okay, all pasty and weird and arm skin. But
have you seen Jimmy G?
I'm analogying again. Trey Lance. At best, we don't know if this is true, but he was the long-term, give him some
right.
time. So my answer is twofold. Are they the better team today? Yes. Emotionally, they're better. The veterans have confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo that they don't have in Trey Lance. And Jimmy knows the NFL and the playbook and the moments. You're talking about a Super Bowl quarterback, multiple NFC championship quarterbacks. Trey Lance can't manufacture that. Long run, the worry is that, great, Jimmy's got, he'll get you to the thing, but not over the thing.
Sure. I have to answer yes as well, although I do it begrudgingly, mm-hmm. because we didn't get to see enough of Trey Lance. You know, we don't know if he was going to come out and just be really freaking good. You know, last week, whatever. Move the ball really good. He played really well for 13 minutes in this game. So, yeah, I mean, by default, I have to default to yes.
Yeah.
But it's begrudgingly, but I have to default to yes.
It is begrudgingly. Number two.
Question two.
What was your game of the weekend?
It had to be Miami-Baltimore.
Yeah.
It had to be Miami-Baltimore. And by the way, let's point this out, too. Love this. Because opening week, you didn't have this. You just had the one Monday Night Football game. There's a couple of good, one in particular. I'm actually really excited for Titans and Bills. I understand the Titans lost at home to the Giants. They're a better team than that,
yep.
And things get goofy. This is not going to be most likely the AFC Championship game, but if it was, I wouldn't, like, fall over. Secondly, Vikings-Eagles. So there's more football to come, a couple of really good matchups tonight. That being said, and you could make an argument the Jets coming back against the Browns was actually crazier. Seeing the Lions put up a ton of points again was a blast. The Giants are now 2-0. I'm sure there's a stat on it. I don't know the last time that the Giants and Jets were at and above 500 or that they both won on the same day, but it can't be that often over the last few years. How about the Jaguars shutting out the Colts 24-0? The Colts, a Colts team that most had in the playoffs and still maybe do. There were a lot of storylines. The Cooper Rush era has begun in Dallas.
Yeah, is Dak Prescott, listen, is he the next guy to get Jimmy G'd?
The defending AFC champions are 0-2. Badly 0-2. Badly 0-2. Two,
well,
not great losses.
And defending Super Bowl champions haven't exactly looked great in the first 2 weeks.
No, you're right. And and by the way, finally, Aaron Rodgers continues to own the Bears.
Since you went through every plausible scenario of best game of the weekend, can I go to the worst game, I thought?
Oh, worst game,
and let
yes.
me be very clear here. There's a little bit of bias because I don't subscribe to Red Zone or anything like that, so I just watch what is on. CBS's early game. Pittsburgh, New England was so boring. You want to talk about just two boring teams? I can't even call them bad teams. They're not bad teams. But my gosh, are they boring. That game was a snooze fest.
I know. And you know what? Watch, one of them's going to be the team. You know,
one of them's going to win the title.
I will say this. Here's what you saw with Pittsburgh and New England. You saw an example of two teams that arguably are the two best coached teams in the NFL that are not the most talented teams in the NFL.
Not at all.
That's what you saw.
Far from it.
You saw two very well. Mike Tomlin and Bill Belichick are arguably the two, well, they're two of the best coaches.
There was a whole lot
NFL.
Of game managing going on in the game yesterday.
Yeah. Number three.
Question three.
Did Arizona win yesterday because Kyler Murray is playing less video games? Your thoughts?
100%. 100%.
He got the message in the offseason?
They don't win yesterday. If he's playing Elden Ring, they lose. The fact that Kyler Murray wasn't playing, I mean, it's just so stupid.
I think they won because he's playing more video games, specifically so. Madden, because that first two-point conversion looked like that. That was a play. That was a video game play.
It was a no. You know what? I will say this: it was a video game play. But Kyler Murray against the Raiders at the end. What the Cardinals did to the Raiders late in the fourth.
Kyler Murray looked like NFL blitz yesterday.
That's where I'm going.
Okay.
NFL blitz when you're up 21 going into the fourth, and all of a sudden. You can't do anything.
Yep.
And everything can throw into quadruple coverage. Yep. And your guy, it'll tip. You'll pick the ball, but it'll bounce off your face mask and into the dude's hands for a touchdown. That's what it was. Kyler Murray was computer love yesterday is what it was. He was catch-up AI. And I get it. If I'm a Raider fan, I'm very,
that's clearly
very angry.
Happened to you before because I hear a little disdain in your voice about catch-up AI.
A little bit. We'll take a break. When we come back, J-Mars doesn't have red zone. I want to talk about that. I see that on the chat line from Leezy. Also, this Trey Lance injury, we'll talk to Matt Barrows of The Athletic at 8:05. That's in just over 30 minutes. In the meantime, though, let's look at that injury and what it means for the rest of the season. We'll be back. Next.
Breaking news, the latest happenings with your favorite teams.
You ever wonder about what the heck all these kids are doing on the computers all the time?
Stay up to date with all of it by following us on Instagram and Twitter.
Excuse me, gentlemen, a little update for you.
At Sactown 1140. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Text or call the show at 916-339-1140. On Sactown Sports 1140.
Long snap. It's a handoff to Ray Ray. No, Trey kept it. Beautifully done by Trey Lance. He's so good, like Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, at holding it at the mesh point. But Ray Ray took it wide.
Trey's,
and then Trey's down.
Yep.
Trey's on his back as he took the handoff there. And Trey
Jordan
Lance
Willis
is hurt.
Hit him, and it's not good. He tried to get up, and then immediately you could see by his body language there is an issue, and he went straight back down to his back. The trainer's working on him now.
So Jimmy Garoppolo begins to warm up on the sideline. Trey Lance flat on its back, and Jimmy Garoppolo warming up on the sideline. So high drama here in the home opener right away.
And our good friend Greg Papa will join us at 8 o'clock on Friday. Again, Matt Barrows will join us in 30 minutes from The Athletic, who's got all the details on this from inside and outside the locker room. Greg Papa had no idea, nor could he at the time, when they said high drama. It was the worst. It was the highest of drama.
Yeah.
You know, the aircast went on. And that was it. And that's Trey Lance's season. It is a nightmare scenario on the surface. Now, you have to do the disclaimers because this is sports talk radio and people take things out of context. I am gutted that I can think that the 49ers in the immediate are a better team with Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback, and also be gutted that Trey Lance is injured and think that it's bad for the 49ers. By the way, nobody should ever be happy somebody is injured. But I also can understand people being out there going, well, it sucks that he's injured, but maybe this was the best case scenario because they weren't going to pull him and he wasn't going to get it done. They just don't have confidence in Trey Lance after, you know, two starts, three starts. Well, and maybe Trey Lance will be better next year. Although now you start thinking, well, okay, what if Jimmy Garoppolo wins the Super Bowl this year? Good problems to have. Those problems are Kyle Shanahan's now.
It's tough. It was, you feel for someone so bad. It's very, it's a sad moment. But you don't have time to sit there and think about it. You got to get right back to the game. And I thought the guys did a real good job of that. But and we were real happy about the win. But it was a little sombering once you get in the locker room.
Yeah, I'll bet. Now, of course, social media is a blast. There were a number of folks upset at Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
You're running Trey Lance like a running back. You're running him. You know, he mentioned Josh Allen. But Trey Lance is not built like Josh Allen, at least not right now. And that Kyle was setting Trey Lance up. Not obviously, not trying to injure him.
But obviously raising the potential of it.
There were people saying he was being what irresponsible, too aggressive with Trey Lance's rushing opportunities.
You guys watch other teams in this league, and Buffalo does it all the time with their quarterbacks. Pretty normal play. It's part of football, and it's unfortunate that he hurt his ankle on it. But it's a very normal Ram play.
Okay. There's the Josh Allen comparison. I mean, yeah.
That's where I take issue with him saying it's normal. Okay, like you said, there's Josh. Who else does that? Who else is calling that play on a regular basis? Who else do we see rushing like that?
I mean, someone's going to say Lamar Jackson. But first off, Lamar Jackson, or Trey Lance is not Lamar Jackson. Number one. And number two, Lamar Jackson is generally making his plays outside the tackles.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore's not running, you know, Lamar into the quote-unquote teeth of the defense.
I would also say, by the way, that not only is Trey Lance not as big and bulky yet as Josh Allen, I'm talking muscular and all that, but Josh Allen also has enough time in this league to send the fear of God into defenses with his arm that he has, you know, we'll go back to mixed martial arts again. It's like if a guy is good on the ground and good standing up, when you have to worry about him rushing in and taking you to the ground. Well, Trey Lance's ground game, i.e. passing game, isn't there yet. So they're just looking for one thing, and they're loading up.
And the other side of that is Trey Lance has not taken a lot of NFL hits yet. No. Josh Allen's taken plenty.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Allen is, I don't want to say his body's used to it so much as just like, dude, this kid did not play a lot of football in college.
Right.
He played one season and then I think one game the following year.
Yeah.
Didn't play much last year.
Yeah.
His body hasn't taken a lot of hits over the last few years. Your body has to get used to taking, especially at the NFL level. Those are grown men hitting you now. You know, maybe don't want to send him into, you know, right down the middle every single time. Let him take a couple hits on the outside. And it's already scary with Trey anyways, because he's already come out and said it. That's how I play football. I get hit. And it's like, man, kid, you're going to learn real quick that in the NFL, it don't work that way.
No. Again, stands not for long.
Yeah.
When something like that happens. It is a shock. It is devastation. But it is also, and you kind of have to look at this. You know, I think everybody can get past the disclaimers here pretty soon, if not right now, that you should not be happy. It's okay to, you should not be happy about Trey Lance going down. Also, I hope that everybody on the 49ers, so if the players feel this way, I think it's okay for the fans to feel this way. Hey, listen, this is devastating, but Trey Lance is not a part of the team now. He's not a part of the team. He's not with us. He's not part of the roster. We wish him well and can't wait to welcome him back next year. He's not a part of the team. We love Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, we were willing to, you know, do the whole Trey Lance thing. We get it. And we trust Matt. Kyle Shanahan. We trust John Lynch. And we were all set to go. So if Trey Lance is going to be out, there's nobody on earth we'd rather walk into fire with than Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's time to stop worrying about Trey Lance. We're now 1-0 since Trey Lance went down. Let's make it 16-0. Let's go out next week. Because, by the way, they won, and they won against Seattle. And that's awesome. That's wonderful. But a couple things to keep in mind. Number one, Seattle's not a good team. Number two, the Niners are going into Mile High next week, which always sucks at the beginning of the year. It sucks anyway, yeah, but it sucks at the beginning of the year. To take on a Broncos team on Sunday Night Football. And by the way, you're always going to have the advantage. And it's funny. This is what I was, I guess it's not technically a name drop since you didn't know who it was, but Raymond Harris, who was with us, a former Bears back. We were talking about this very thing. And he said something that's so true. When a major, major player, like obviously a quarterback, there's nothing more major. When he gets hurt and somebody comes in that is different, i.e., if it's a running quarterback and a pocket quarterback comes in, or vice versa, whatever, the advantage in some cases, in a weird way, really does go to the offense, because the other team has spent all week rehearsing and prepping for the other guy and the other style, and now they've got to switch on the fly with no preparation. And sure, guys can do that, but it always throws the defense off a little bit. Denver is going to have an entire week now to scheme for nothing but Jimmy Garoppolo. They have film galore on him. You know what other teams didn't have a lot of? Film on Trey Lance. They had some, but again, there's no way to tell what he had developed into. They know what Jimmy is, and they're going to scheme exactly that. And I don't know what the line's going to be. I truly don't. But I honestly, there's a part. Is Denver going to be favored? I doubt it. But it would not shock me. Well, here we go. Right now, the line is even. I was going to say, it wouldn't shock me. Honestly,
Denver does not look good right now.
But I think Denver's going to be favored in that game by the end of the week.
If they are, it'll be by like 2.5.
Oh, I agree. Oh, if not 1.5. I think it's going to be right around 1.5. I think it's going to be right around 1.5. And I think that's the right line. So I would calm down. I would understand that. Thank God they've got a couple of games to get Jimmy G acclimated, because you're taking on the Rams the week after that. You're back at it again with those guys.
That's going to be such an interesting going in, whether regardless of what happens in week three, because the Rams don't look good. The NFC West, we were talking about, man, it's the Rams division with the Niners coming right back up. I'm not so sure it's the Rams division right now. 2 weeks in, I'm trying not to be Mr. Hot Takey guy, but it's, they don't look good.
The NFC West?
Right now, the entire NFC West doesn't look great.
The problem is what kind of vacuum are we dealing with? Like, I don't.
I know. That's why I'm saying it's 2 weeks in. I'm not trying to jump ahead.
I know. It's so weird. I don't know. When you look at teams around the league, you know, the Giants are 2-0, and I'm here for it. I truly am. The Dolphins are 2-0, and I am truly, truly here for it. I think Mike Tomlin, once again, is doing a phenomenal coaching job with God knows what he's got to deal with. I think the Chiefs did not look. I mean, on one hand, I think the Chiefs didn't look that great. On the other hand, they might be playing, they're probably playing a top five team in the NFL last week in the Chargers.
Yeah, and they're 2-0. And we saw them dismantle Arizona. The Chiefs, anybody who was writing off the Chiefs at the beginning of the year is already, I think, regretting that.
I
2 weeks into the season.
Oh, I completely agree. And by the way, one more thing. I understand it's not against the end-all, be-all, but two road games and two victories for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ho-hum. They're 2-0. And they host the Packers, and then they go host the Chiefs.
Despite Tom Brady breaking iPads.
Oh. Would that be considered a screen pass? You know what's funny? Jason says that, and you're like, oh, ding, ding, ding. Oh, my God.
Because his timing is so good.
Where else could that timing have been?
Yeah, it's just the way you set it up. It's just not. Jason is just bam. You kind of like have this thing where you need to
pause?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to pause for effect.
But the effect's not good.
Yeah. Your effect isn't good.
Okay. Well, yeah. Now we're getting personal, okay. And well, I think right. You should apologize in the break.
No, we'll talk about that when we get back. A look around the NFL after week two. We've got some other storylines and some other highlights there. Don't forget Matt Barrow's coming up at the top of the hour in just 20 minutes. We're right back.
You want more Kings coverage?
Sacktown Sports 1140 is giving it to you.
I like the Monk deal a lot. The Kevin Herter one, you got control of a guy who, around the league, people still think he's a pretty good player.
Impressions, let's start with the Kings' top pick, Keegan Murray. What do you think of him? And you obviously knew him well at Iowa.
Yeah, I thought he was terrific. I called efficient and versatile. He's going to make shots. He's an elite jump shooter.
Log on to SacktownSports.com for exclusive content.
SacktownSports.com.
Got a take?
Make sure it's a hot one.
Take a shot right now.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports 1140.
A lot of fallout from Trey Lance going down and out for the year. We'll have Matt Barrows on at 8 o'clock to talk about that. Sean Salisbury, very interested. Obviously, Matty is going to be wonderful to talk to. Nobody knows that locker room more than Matt Barrows. And that's why I love our lineup of guests, Jay, because Sean will be able to give us the quarterback standpoint.
He will literally.
He'll never pull punches, and he'll say straight up whether he believes the people criticizing Kyle Shanahan are full of garbage or if Kyle misplayed his hand. And then Greg Popp on Friday, just being there in the process, the whole thing. You know, Trey Lance yesterday before he went down, Trey Lance had 3 rushes.
What did he have, 14 in the first week? He led the team in rushing in week one.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking. He had last year he had 38 rushing attempts in 6 appearances, which is a little over 6 per.
Mm-hmm.
This year he had 16 in 2 games. But let's be real clear. It was what? Middle-ish of the, right around middle of first quarter.
Yeah.
When he went down.
220, I think, left in the first.
Okay. So if you extrapolate that, he's going to have, around 6 to 8 rushes mm-hmm. for the game, which puts him on pace for, again, around 7-8 rushes per contest.
I don't think it's the rushing that is bothering people that are really upset with Kyle Shanahan's play calling. It's having him run up the gut, so to speak. It's you got a young quarterback who's not used to taking hits in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Take him to the outside. He's got enough speed to get to the outside.
I mean,
the draw play, we've seen it. We've watched Trey. He's very good running on the outside when he's scrambled and everything. And that's not to say he's not good running the ball up the middle. He's very good at it. The draw play has been an excellent weapon for them. But you can't. I agree with a lot of people. When you have a young quarterback like that, I think you need to get into the outside a little more.
I think part of the problem people are having is it's a tweet from Ed Werger almost exactly a year ago, September 26th of last year. Quote, despite injuries at running back, Kyle Shanahan doesn't view rookie quarterback Trey Lance as a solution to create rushing yards. And Ed quotes Shanahan here. He's not Lamar Jackson. Trey is a quarterback who has the ability to run, but to just line him up and run him, well, the game's too physical for that.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding,
ding,
ding.
Well,
and that's the thing. Are we playing gotcha journalism here?
We're not playing gotcha.
Or did Kyle Shanahan really go against that?
Again, it's not gotcha journalism at all. It's I agree with his initial assessment.
And do you think he broke that by rushing him 6 times and then?
I think he broke that again by it's not the quantity, it's the quality of the rush. Again, don't mind the draw play once or twice a game, but dude, how many times did he already ran the ball at the middle yesterday in the first quarter?
Yeah,
I think it's a fair criticism of Kyle Shanahan. I don't think people are being unfair with that criticism.
Well, a lot of people had criticism of Trevor Lawrence in his rookie year, number one pick in the draft. They spent a lot of money, the Jaguars did, on Christian Kirk, and boy, did he look good.
Shotgun formation, dropping is Trevor, looking. Fires middle of the field, caught by Christian Kirk, leans toward the end zone, touchdown! A 10-yard touchdown pass from Trevor Lawrence to Christian Kirk.
Yeah, they did that again.
22 seconds of play in the third. Trevor under center. Play fake. Trevor's going to run to the right. He's going to toss it to Christian Kirk for the touchdown! Touchdown pass! From Trevor Lawrence to Christian Kirk.
Mm-hmm. So, what is going on with the Colts?
That they're, to me, of all the teams in the NFL, that to me is the most head-scratching one so far.
Frank Reich says they're not that far from being good.
As pathetic as that was today, I've been around long enough to know that where that is and where we need to be, the distance is not that far.
Also was asked about motivation.
If you would feel what it feels like during the week, unmotivated is not what a word that you would characterize what our weeks are like, what this last week was like.
Okay. They're 24-0 against the Jags.
Yeah, it's not the quantity of losses I'm looking at the Colts right now. It's the quality of losses.
The Jags.
And we thought the Jags would be better this year just by losing Urban Meyer alone.
Sure.
Doug Peterson's a good coach.
Yeah, maybe.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Maybe this ain't your grandpa's Jags.
My grandpa didn't watch a lot of Jags football.
Maybe this is a Brunel Jags. Yeah. I don't know.
But it's not even that. It's just so much what's going on in Indy that you get blanked by them. This is a team that, 2 weeks ago going into the season, everyone's talking about, this is a team that can come out of the AFC in a stacked AFC.
Yeah.
And returning 7 or 8 Pro Bowlers.
I think that was
you had Matt Ryan.
That's a reach in the sense. I mean, I get it. You have Pittman at wide receiver who's he's so underrated, he's rated now. Jonathan Taylor.
That to me is the big thing where it's like, dude, Jonathan Taylor going in was the.
You had Matt Ryan.
Like the running back, Jonathan Taylor, people felt was the best running back. I didn't think so.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that made that argument that Taylor was the best running back in the NFL. He didn't do squat yesterday.
Well, and also it's so weird when you talk about best running backs. Like, for example, Christian McCaffrey is probably the best running back in the NFL, but he can't stay healthy and Carolina sucks. Derrick Henry might be the best running back in the NFL when it comes to just purely draining other teams. Yet Tennessee's 0-1 and could very easily be 0-2 after tonight. Who was the other one? We're talking about, you know, Saquon Barkley when healthy is tremendous. But again, show was huge in week one, was in week two. But then let's go to Cleveland, where, let me ask you this. Is there a better backfield in the NFL?
No.
Than Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt?
No, if you look at it on the totality, I don't think so. Okay, that's a dual threat that's really hard to scheme for.
And the fact that Cleveland and their announcers are using Chunt as the combo.
Dude, when I heard... Did you also like, wait,
yes,
what?
Yes, I did. And I went, you know what? I get that Chubb is the lead guy, but how about Hub? Hub is much better.
Yeah.
Because someone...
You're less likely to have a slip up on that one.
Yeah, someone's going to... Like, you have to know... You have to be very clear of how you're speaking.
Especially with that fan base. Yeah. Not trying to go get the fan base, but we saw some of them, you know, with the Deshaun Watson suspension came down. Some very questionable attire being sold.
But it's my,
you know?
Right. And the thing is, to the point.
Know your audience, bro.
It's weird when it comes to running backs because you have these flashy, rad, super great running backs. And who are. It's so inconsistent, and I can't necessarily put my finger on it. But the Bills. I'm just going to last year. Mm-hmm. Who, no crazy, tremendous running back.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. But again,
I know the spirit of what you're saying.
When you're looking at their depth chart from last year, or hell yeah, you know, Devin Singletary doesn't blow you away. Zach Moss doesn't blow you away. How about all those years? Is Corey Dillon still the best running back? I might be forgetting someone.
The Belichick Patriots?
Yeah.
It's hard to argue against. Mm. And even he at that point wasn't even great. He was better with the Bengals, I thought.
Derrick Henry and the Titans, for sure. But Jonathan Taylor, who also good in home improvement, for the Colts last year, they were 9-8. 9-8. Do you think the Cowboys are 12-5 because of Zeke Elliott? And they had Zeke Elliott and Pollard. They just wore people down. And Zeke looks, actually, weirdly enough, I thought looked better this year than last year.
Last year, I don't know what was going on last year.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, Jones then and then Fournette, you're not exactly talking world beater. Same thing.
Well, the running back position is just not what it used to be.
Well, the Rams, same thing. Henderson and Akers. You know, Akers is hurt. But again, these are not your glamorous running backs.
No, you don't need glamorous running backs anymore to win in the NFL.
McCaffrey with the Panthers, they were 5-12. Glamorous running back. Kamara with the Saints, they were 9-8. Swift with the Lions.
Well, going back to McCaffrey, though, I think you need to point out injuries the last couple of years.
I hear
McCaffrey,
you.
When healthy, is
a
problem to the point where they win more games with him healthy.
They win more games. No, I don't disagree with
that. But it's
that,
because of the dual threat role that he plays, right?
Well, yeah,
you're not just rushing McCaffrey 25 to 30 times a game.
We're also not talking about they win enough games to be a threat to anything other than 500.
I agree with that.
The Vikings and Dalvin Cook, you can make a similar argument as far as injuries go, but they were 8-9. I mean, again, I'm going the Giants and Barkley, injuries, totally get it. Going through time and time and time. Austin Eckler with the Chargers, 9-8 last year. Time and time again, you've got these glam backs.
Glam backs, that's going to be a thing.
But the Cleveland Browns, best backfield in the NFL, arguably. And you and I agree on that. 8-9 last year. They may struggle to get there. There's just so much more that goes into that. And I think sometimes, many times, we mix fantasy football with what actually
works
in football.
Well, that's what most people do.
Yeah, it's 100%. Tua Tagovailoa, huge breakout game yesterday, 6 touchdowns. The Rams finally on the board, so yeehaw for the Super Bowl champions. We'll take a break when we come back. Let's get back to the 49ers. Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Nobody's going to have a better handle on that situation. We'll get to him next.
Check out the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa every week on Sactown Sports 1140. Get the latest on equipment, area courses, people that play the great game, and plenty of good conversations about golf.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa
every week on Sactown Sports 1140. Golf to Go is brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.